Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to The Early Line right here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. I'm Kevin Walsh, going to be joined by Donnie Wrightside as we start a new week here on a Tuesday morning. Donnie, how are we feeling?
Doing good. Rested and ready for a new week. And the best part about this, Kevin, usually we come on the air and be like, welcome into Monday morning. Folks. It's already Tuesday, and we are off and running on an exciting show, 7 to 9 a.m. Yeah. No place in the world, Kevin, I'd rather be than right here with you.
Absolutely. A little head start on the week. You love to see it. We go over to our 7-7 top headlines. My goodness, we could have had about 100 of these after a jam-packed week. We start, though, with an awful headline for yours truly, as the Lakers not only lose Game 4 to the Phoenix Suns, they lose Anthony Davis in the process, listed as unlikely for Game 5. Who knows really what his status will be for the remainder of the series. Donnie, the Lakers, now considerable underdogs here in this series versus Phoenix.
It's interesting now because information, disinformation is what we're looking at now. Chris Paul, supposedly not even going to play in the past game, comes in and plays extremely well. And now AD goes down with a groin injury where they tell you it's not that serious, but then it's not that serious that he's going to miss the next game and possibly the rest of the series. We'll see how it goes. But just another chip on top of LeBron, because Kev, if he gets this done as a 7-seed without AD, crown him, boys.
Oh, man.
Crown him.
Oh, man. Donnie's got me all jacked up. Big game tonight. Very excited. Keeping it with the LA teams, the Clippers, not dead just yet. They even this series now at 2-2, taking both games in Dallas. No home team yet to win a game in this one, Donnie, but perhaps the Clippers have figured out this Mavericks squad.
Yeah, I jumped on game four there with the Clippers. Was an easy victory. Saw Luka Doncic struggling a little bit with a neck injury. Saw how well the Clippers played in game three. Back into the series, they really put their foot down, which is interesting because a lot of people out there betting the Clippers to win the championship. It looks like it's back on here. Good win by the Clippers. Back in control of the series as we head towards game five. Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. Keeping with the NBA, the Wizards last night forced a Game 5. Joel Embiid leaves injured in the game, only plays 11 minutes. The recipe for success for Washington in this series has basically been Embiid being absent on the court. A Game 5, though, that'll be in Philadelphia. Likely no panic just yet, right, Donnie?
I don't know yet, because whenever you hear there will be an MRI to confirm status of Joel Embiid, you get a little bit nervous, because being a Sixer fan like I am, the hard part about this entire series now is if Joel Embiid is healthy, we know we got the goods. But we've always been worried about Sixers fans. When is that knee going to give out? And the MRI with a knee and general knee soreness with Joel Embiid sends shivers down my spine, but still should be able to take care of business in Game 5 at the Wells Fargo Center, Kevin.
Yeah, obviously right now, already during this postseason, we have seen injury be a big part of the conversation, certainly more than we would typically prefer. Speaking of an injured player, but who's back and playing well, Donovan Mitchell leads the Utah Jazz now to a 3-1 series lead. They've yet to lose a game with Donovan Mitchell in their starting lineup, having 30 points in last night's victory over the Memphis Grizzlies, 120-113. The Jazz now, Donnie, taking a 3-1 series lead as we welcome our radio audience into the fold, listening to The Early Line here on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you here on a Tuesday morning. Donovan Mitchell, Donnie, getting it done for Utah.
good teams putting away teams of lower seeds. That's what you got to do. 3-1 lead now here for the Utah Jazz, and a nice series comeback here for Mitchell, who did miss game one. And as they're back, 3-0 here now as they look to move forward and close out the Memphis Grizzlies. And maybe for the Grizzlies and Ja Morant, too much too soon, superstar in the waiting, but maybe he's going to have to wait a little bit longer, Kevin.
Yeah, it looks like it. Over in the world of European football, Chelsea, your Champions League winners, a final of 1-0. Kai Havertz with a 42nd-minute goal. All Chelsea needed to put away Manchester City and stop Pep from getting that Champions League trophy with the citizens.
I was very invested in this one with the FanDuel Sportsbook odds boost here to get a both teams to score a number of 1-1. Got the one late in the first half. I said, Kev, we're all in. This is going to be so much fun to watch in the second half. Only for Chelsea to park the bus. Nothing gets across. Good win by Chelsea, 1-0. But bad for me, Kevin. Bad for me.
Yeah, those pesky super boosts, always so interesting. There's a hilarious one available right now on FanDuel. In the world of tennis, superstar Naomi Osaka withdraws from the French Open after a lot of conversation around her not wanting to speak to the media, citing mental health issues, ultimately decides that, quote, the best thing for her was to move on and remove herself from the French Open, Donnie.
Interesting things here going on, but I do say it's a win-win situation with most people looking down on this. You have every right to back out of the tournament if your mental health is not there, but also at the same time, the French Open has the right to say, you have to talk to the press. This is why you get paid all this money. After the tournament, you say a couple words, move in, move out, but also getting back to it, you have every right to not do that. You can bow out because of your mental illness and awareness. So good for her to step back and say, let me get my mental thoughts together. I'll see you guys at a later time. Good on her.
Yeah, the mental health, again, very, very important.
Yeah.
The French Open, I feel like at times maybe applied pressure in ways that was not beneficial. Yeah. But as you said, maybe best for both parties here for her to withdraw. Last headline before we hit our first break. The Montreal Canadiens complete a 3-1 comeback over the Maple Leafs, winning that series of Game 7, 3-1. We take our first break. We come on back. The early line, we talk about all the action that happened this week in the NBA.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back right here on the early line. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside hanging out with you, getting you started here on a Tuesday morning. Want to go through all of the headlines that we saw from this weekend's NBA action, which is a ton. We haven't talked to you since Friday morning. I would say, Donnie, the biggest story right now is the defending champions losing Anthony Davis. The timeline, we are really sure on the fact that he is listed as unlikely / questionable for game 5 gives us a bit of an idea that maybe game 6, at least it doesn't seem season ending, which is a positive sign. But the Phoenix Suns winning in Los Angeles, taking control back of this series, and now on a series price, they are -178 favorites to move past the Los Angeles Lakers, Donnie.
It makes a lot of sense to me as well, Kevin, because if you're looking from a betting perspective, we might have thought Chris Paul was done for the series. It's clear that his shoulder was injured, but even coming back in the last game, which the Phoenix Suns did win, didn't have any coverings on that shoulder, looking to get more back into the game flow. And from the pregame notions here, it looked like the coach and him would say, hey, I'm going to sit you out this game. And said, hey, no way, Jose. I need to play in this game in this clutch situation, and played very well. So now you go from Chris Paul being the injured one where we don't know what's going to take place over to AD being injured, and we don't know how effective he's going to be for the rest of the series. But it's not really a big surprise to me, Kevin. Look, during the season, AD missed a lot of time. That body's been breaking down this year and broke down once again in the playoffs at the absolute worst time. Now it's back to all LeBron James to try to carry them past the Phoenix Suns, who, yes, are the higher seed, Kev.
Yeah, I want to just make this point here quickly, because I've seen some folks, especially with the Miami result, and we'll talk about them being swept out by the Bucks, talking about, see, we told you the bubble was an asterisk, and see, obviously, these were phony baloney performances. And I'm not a fan of asterisks, but if you were going to force me to slap one next to a season, it would be this one with this insane turnaround that basically eliminated the four teams that went to last year's conference finals. Because the Lakers have been ravaged by injury all season. The Nuggets lost Jamal Murray. The Celtics have been a disaster to the point that Kemba Walker missed a playoff game. That's how injured Kemba is. And oh, and by the way, Jaylen Brown doesn't play. Jimmy Butler missed half the season. Dragic missed half the season. Hero missed half the season. I gotta say, Donnie, it was one of those things that, like, we talked about, but then the season went on, so we kind of moved past it. It has been clear as day that the turnaround that was put on, specifically the teams that went to the conference finals last year, has just been absolutely detrimental to their chances to trying to have a consecutive run in this year's postseason.
Like, let's just take the Lakers into perspective, because I think you're bringing up a great point here. If you had that quick turnaround off a championship team, which played more games than basically anybody, why? Because they won the championship and had to play the Miami Heat. Coming back into the season, if we're talking, Kevin, about like a load management or ramping up for the playoffs, which is probably what the Lakers wanted to do, that was stymied by the big injuries by AD and LeBron James, who missed a good chunk in right in that middle to three quarters part of the season, where maybe you would begin to ramp up, as opposed to saying, hey, let's not ramp up. Let's just make sure you get to the playoffs and you're safe for the playoffs. And that has a big deal to do with it. Looking at the Lakers now, I don't want to say technically they're on the ropes, because they still have LeBron James and a decent squad around him, even with AD out. But if you were looking to make a run to the title as the Los Angeles Lakers, it was predicated, Kevin, on LeBron James and Anthony Davis being 100%.
And we'll talk more about tonight's game in hour number two. I think the way I've looked at this Lakers team, do they need Anthony Davis to, say, advance in this series? Maybe not. We'll find out. They absolutely need him, though, if they are going to repeat as NBA champions. No two ways about it. Sticking with Los Angeles, the Clippers. Left for dead. Down 0-2, dropped to about 16-1 to win the title. Better than 7-1 to win the Western Conference. Some folks wondering what would be next for Kawhi, because there's no way he could stay with an organization like the Clippers. Well, the series is now 2-2. And another series, though, to be fair, that absolutely is being impacted by injury is Luka Doncic dealing with a neck strain, a significant dip in his shooting performance in game number four, dropping only to 19 points after having 30-plus points in the first three games of this series. And all of a sudden now, the Clippers, Donnie, massively in control and up to minus 340 favorites to win this series.
Adversity. Adversity is what sometimes these teams need to get that little kick in the pants to carry them towards an NBA championship or at least a deep run. We were burying the Clippers down 0-2. No way, Kevin, they're going to go to Dallas now with a full house and be able to win both of those games, which is what they would need. Because even just a split from the Dallas Mavericks would have sent that to a 3-1 series lead and probably marked the end of it. All you needed was that little door open, maybe a neck strain by Luka Doncic, because in that game, 106-81, that was full throttle, Kevin. That wasn't, oh, man, Mavericks lost by 2 points. Boy, that one's going to hurt. This was a thumping that's going to stick in the back of their head as they head back towards Los Angeles, but back in the driver's seat, that's Kawhi Leonard and the boys. They're probably going to win this series now, and that jump may help them get towards an NBA championship or a deep run in the NBA playoffs.
I was having a conversation this weekend hosting, filling in for Betting Around the Rim with Rob Perez, Worldwide Wob, about this Clippers team. And I think there's something to be said, Donnie, about the idea that you maybe might be higher on this team if they come back from an 0-2 deficit than them, say, just sweeping a Mavericks team. Because last year's group blowing a 3-1 lead, you worry about mental toughness. Down 0-2, are they going to fold? A lot of people thought so. This really could, I think for me at least, make me far more likely to support this Clippers team, because I think this is something I didn't know they really, I didn't know if they had this in them, this kind of mental toughness, Donnie.
You know what's interesting about it? If you were to just look back the past few days and say, hey, at least one LA team is going to be moving on here, you would have thought it was the Los Angeles Lakers, but no more. You look now at the series and the way they're handicapped, it's now the Clippers that would be more advantageous to move on than the Los Angeles Lakers. But you are correct. Mental adversity. Heck, I even saw people out here, Kevin, saying, you know what? You don't make sense in the offseason. Kawhi Leonard to Miami, Jimmy Butler to LA. We got to blow this Clippers team up to now all of a sudden making a run towards the NBA championship. 24 to 48 hours. How quickly things change in series. Clippers back in control, and I'm glad they are. I want to see these two superstars try to make a run at a title. It makes things more interesting to me overall. We'll see if it comes to fruition.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also want to talk about the first and, to this point, only team to advance in the playoffs, the Milwaukee Bucks, the postseason Bucks, plus 250 to win the Eastern Conference after sweeping the Miami Heat. Donnie, I kept saying, oh, but the Miami Heat will get this game. They'll get this one. And you kept saying, no, no. And boy, were you right. And they ended up again blowing the Heat out 120 to 103 in that final game.
The joke from me moving forward here was the Miami Heat already live in paradise as players. Did they really want to extend the series and head out on a holiday weekend to go back up to Milwaukee? Apparently not, because they must have got the memo at the half. Played very well and looked like they were going to take a stand in game four, say, not tonight, fellas, not tonight. But in the second half, it looked like, you don't want to say NBA teams just quit, because that's unfair. The Bucks are a vastly superior team than the Miami Heat. But in that second half, 21-point third quarter by the Heat, followed by an 18-point fourth quarter, 120 to 103 blowout win. That's going to set up a nice series as long as the Nets can take care of business. One series that we all want to watch, the Nets and the Bucks.
Yeah, that will be delightful. I will close Miami out on this because there's a lot of Milwaukee talk that we'll have throughout this playoffs. Jimmy Butler, 14.5 points, 31.5 field goal percentage, and 18% from beyond the arc. I entered this postseason. You make me rank the top 25 players in the league. Jimmy Butler probably comes in at 12th. I think the top 11 is pretty easy. I think Jimmy would have been 12th. This was an unacceptable performance from a guy who covered himself in glory during last year's playoffs run. Rightfully so, an unacceptable way from him and Bam Adebayo to go out. They need to be better when the Heat get ready to go next season. More NBA talk on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back right here on the early line, recapping this weekend's NBA action. And again, it has been a while, feels like, since we've been able to talk about what's happened in the NBA. And boy, a lot's happened with the Brooklyn Nets, the unbeatable, unstoppable, untouchable NBA favorites lost a game. Now, I know they won game four, 141 to 126, 42 from KD, 39 from Kyrie, 18 assists from Harden. There's no panic. They'll win this series in five games, but they are going to win it in five and not four. And you know, it's interesting, Donnie, but after the first two games, there were people out there 16-2 on the way to a title. Easy. Might sweep the Eastern Conference. Not so fast. Not so fast. If they can lose a game in Boston, don't tell me that they cannot lose multiple games in Milwaukee or Philadelphia if they were able to get as far.
Yeah, so if you're from a Sixers perspective or a Bucks perspective, like, hey, they're human, they bleed, they actually took a loss. You know what it took to actually take that loss, Kevin? 50 points from an opposing player. So theoretically, sure, they can lose, but it takes Herculean efforts to try to get over the hump and stop the Nets. This is the worst nightmare of the Eastern Conference teams as heading down the stretch. You're saying, look, we haven't seen these three together, but boy, when they play extremely well together, they are going to be tough to tough to stop. You're taking a look at James Harden, almost taking a backseat. Kevin Durant gets whatever he wants anytime he wants. And as long as you have an engaged Kyrie Irving, that big three is going to be tough to stop. But it is nice to see at least the Celtics got one game, so it wasn't a clean sweep as they move forward. Now, from a Nets perspective, Kevin, they want to end this series as quick as possible because there already is a team waiting for them in the second round. I think they'll be able to do that in Brooklyn to close out the series in five. And I think if we would have looked at the series and said, hey, look, the Celtics are going to get one, nobody's going to say, oh, I thought the Nets would absolutely swept them out. Still a very good series by the Brooklyn Nets, and looking forward to that matchup once they do close out the Celtics taking on the Bucks.
Yeah, I, and look, absolutely, it did take a 50 spot from Tatum. Giannis averaged about 40 a game versus that Brooklyn defense during the regular season. Again, that defense is still vulnerable. Boston goes for $125 at least in each of the two home games there. Boston doesn't have the type of squad that's going to travel. They're, again, not as talented. Kemba Walker, you know, clearly was playing injured. I think we come to realize there with how poor he played in game three, at least shooting-wise. But yeah, that series should be done soon. A huge number that the Nets are laying for tonight's game. There are two series that have series prices still up. We'll talk a little more about last night's action in a moment. The Knicks and the Hawks, the Knicks are plus 730 as they are now down 3-1, unable to take any of the games in Atlanta. Things ended a little chippy with a flagrant foul against Julius Randle. At least they showed some fight in that respect, Donnie, but on the court, they seem a tier below Atlanta, quite frankly.
Surprising to say the least, because if you would have picked out a series in the first round from both the East and the West, Kevin, that probably was going to go seven games or thought might go seven games, it was probably the Knicks and the Hawks. And I got to tell you, watching games three and four, yes, it was on Atlanta's home court. Yes, the crowd made a major impact like it did in New York. But surprising to see the Knicks go out with a whimper, 113-96. It doesn't bode well for the future. And even if you wanted to take a big price on the Knicks, say, hey, they're going to get, you know, game five back on their home court, push it back to Atlanta. This is one of those series where I'm looking at, it feels just about over because I'm not getting the massive performances that I need from the right guys. Sure, it's nice to see Derrick Rose come up with big performances, but that's squarely on Julius Randle. He needs a 40-15 type game to get them back to believing. A squeak by win in the Garden in game five, I don't know if that's going to give me all that much confidence that they can come back and win the series.
Yeah, that other series that you mentioned, 2-2 through four, each team already with the win in the opponent's building. Portland is a slight -130 series favorite over the Denver Nuggets. They beat this team over the weekend 115-95. And the takeaway that I've had from this series, Donnie, is although it's competitive, whenever Portland wins, I'm like, all right, yeah, this is done. Denver will never win another game. There's something like when Portland does it, it's like they're so much better than them. I don't know how Denver's competitive. But they are. It's been a very interesting series. One that, look, 2-2 through 4, can't ask for more than that.
No, you certainly can't. And I think the point that you bring up does make me laugh a little bit because when the Portland Trailblazers play well, they don't profile as a lower seeded team in this type of environment. They are so talented. They have closers that can get it done. And you see the scores, 115-95. Whoa, Portland's on their way. But then when you flip home court and it gets reestablished by the Nuggets, say, hey, well, they have the MVP on their team. They absolutely should win this series. But Portland always surprises. It just seems like maybe they're a man short at times, maybe another big that could help them out, but they are certainly fun to watch. And when Dame gets it going, as good as anybody in the NBA at being a closer, we'll see if he can get the series done. But it's great to see a 2-2 series, very competitive out in the West.
Yeah, no doubt. Yesterday's action, Wizards beat the Sixers in an upset, 122-114. Joel Embiid, the story though, only 11 minutes in this game after leaving injured. He will have an MRI. I was checking out the Pro Football Doc's commentary. He didn't seem to be overly concerned. I'll say, though, the updated odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the East, maybe a different tone, plus 440 on Philly. That's surprising to me. Again, they're still going to get past Washington. They will still be considerable favorites over the Atlanta Hawks. I think they'd still be favored to win that series, even if Joel Embiid didn't play in that series. And the fact that they would be able to avoid, again, having to play Brooklyn or Milwaukee, still is very valuable to me, Donnie. I'm interested in this number. If Joel Embiid is confirmed back. I wonder if we see this number dip.
It will, and I think people are a little bit nervous right now because anytime you see, and the same thing with AD, you can probably cross-reference it here. When a player leaves a game and he's banged up and does not return, that's going to lead for pause because if he wasn't healthy enough to finish that game, you don't get 2 weeks. It's not the NFL where you play the following Sunday. You're going to play a couple days later, so those odds are going to shift based on maybe we get a worst-case scenario, hyperextended knee, he's down 2 to 3 weeks, or a bone bruise, going to take 14 days to get through this. That is going to differentiate between the odds of what you're going to get as opposed to if Joel Embiid was completely healthy. Looking at that play time and time again yesterday, everybody was worried about the back, but really when you took a look, those knees got a little bit mangled on their way down. It'll be interesting to see. But the age-old adage in Philadelphia is, hey, when Joel goes down, come on, Ben Simmons. You got to step up in this spot. We'll see if he does next game if Joel can't go.
Well, that's the thing. If you, you know, take a step back from Joel Embiid, they still could have won this game without a doubt. Then all of a sudden we went to Hakaben. Not great. Not great. 5 for 11 from the line in this game, 13 points, 12 boards, dealt with some foul trouble as well. Did Ben Simmons lose this game for the Sixers? No, his inability to knock down free throws loomed large, but it was also a less than ideal shooting performance from this team. 8 for 24 from Tobias. You'd like a little bit more there. You had, you know, Dwight and Mike Scott trying to fill in for Embiid with a combined 0 for 7 shooting performance there. As a team, 42% against Washington, Embiid or not, is not good enough.
It was interesting to watch as well because while Joel Embiid was healthy and playing in the first quarter, it almost looked like a coronation game where the Sixers were going to move on rather quickly and Washington was okay with it. But once Embiid got down, the crowd got fired up. Washington started to play a little bit better. And the Sixers, you're right, didn't have a counter. During the second period, you're hearing some of the announcers say, hey, Mike Scott is now filling in at center. Probably not the best case scenario in the playoffs for Mike Scott to be your general center on the court. But we'll see. It's still early. If there was an injury or guy has to miss a game or two, you'd like that to be up 3-0 as opposed to in a tighter series. Sixers coming home, and also keep in mind the COVID restrictions loosening up as well, which we anticipated for the following series, now kick in. Full building in Game 5. Sixers fans will be ready. Yeah. Let's see if the Sixers are ready to close them out.
On that Washington side, a Russell Westbrook line for the ages. 21 rebounds, 14 assists, 19 points on 3 of 19 shooting. That's Russ. He's the only person probably in league history that could finish with that stat line. Last game that we had yesterday, Memphis drops their third straight game in this series after taking game one in Utah, 120 to 113. They have been a nightmare for people that have backed them in these last three games here because the game is tied with like 3 minutes left and then they just go absolutely ice cold. Utah can't miss. Donovan Mitchell with a nice performance here, 30 points. As a team, the Jazz bang on 50% from beyond the arc, and they take a very commanding 3-1 series lead, Donnie.
Nice to have a healthy Donovan Mitchell back. 30-8 in that playoff game on the road. Exactly what you need from your superstar. As anticipated here, it's a nice story for the Memphis Grizzlies. The good part about it is how many times do we say from a young team, particularly with Ja Morant, just get him in the playoffs. No matter what happens, it's very good for the future because he can get a taste of it, maybe go up against a better team and realize how hard it is to actually win playoff games and also win playoff series. So maybe a little bit too much too soon for that team. Not a surprise that the Jazz are in control. They'll probably close them out in game five, but healthy Spider Mitchell out there, the real deal. Nice game four.
And you'll notice right now the Western Conference odds have the Utah Jazz plus 150, the favorites. This isn't a big change that the Jazz are the best team in the West. What this has to do is the fact that they're the only team that was able to avoid 2-2 through 4. The Lakers and the Suns, 2-2. The Clippers and the Mavs, 2-2. The Blazers and the Nuggets, 2-2. They're the only team right now that I think anybody with utmost confidence, well, they're going to the next round. And I think that's why you see that big boost there for the Utah Jazz. All right, we take a break. We come back. We're going to recap some of the action that we gave you to keep an eye on from our weekend watch, including the Champions League and the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. Keep it right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Short in this, and as we know in soccer, for the most part, the first half, especially in big games, you sort of feel each other out. It's no surprise when you usually go to the half 0-0, but you got that 1-0 goal from Chelsea, which you said to yourself and take a deep breath, well, you know, that's pretty good, because Man City should be able to come back here in the second half with their offensive prowess and get at least one back for that odds boost. Wasn't meant to be, but I still would take it again. I believe it was plus 2-1 when it went off for both of those teams to score a goal in the Champions League final, but a big win by Chelsea to lift the trophy. As they say, Kevin, fun Saturday all the way across the card, particularly in soccer, but a great win by Chelsea to take the championship.
Yeah, no doubt. The Stanley Cup playoffs have had a lot happening. The Vegas Golden Knights will start there. They win Game 7 over the Minnesota Wild. They win it by a final score of 6-2. They then on Sunday open a series against Colorado, who has been waiting quite some time for the Vegas Golden Knights. And boy, oh boy, was that difficult there. About a week off for Colorado, a short turnaround for Vegas, and it looked every bit like it. A 7-1 final. The Avalanche win that game, and they go to minus 460 on this series price. Donnie, the early returns from the Stanley Cup playoffs peg Colorado as the clear best team in the NHL.
And it looked like it. I mean, you're right. Some of that decompression that comes off of a Game 7. Sometimes you can ride that wave of momentum, Kevin, into the next series. Sometimes, like, whew, man, that was a really close call. Good, another Game 7, or excuse me, another 7-game series on tap. Maybe we don't have to put our best effort in Game 1. And one of those, Kevin, which I like to say, let's see what happens. Let's play it close. Well, it certainly didn't happen for the Vegas Golden Knights in that game. A 7-1 blowout winner, McKinnon, absolutely looked like he was three times as fast as anybody on the ice, which is what you get from one of the best players in the NHL. You have a quick turnaround here for the Vegas Golden Knights to say, hey, let's get that one out of our mouth, because that wasn't a 2-1 overtime loss, Kevin. That was a 7-1 rout. Be interesting to see that ebb and flow of the series if the Vegas Golden Knights can steal one in Colorado.
The Game Time Decisions Bowl came to a conclusion. Tough, tough result there for the Toronto Maple Leafs. For those that don't remember, they lost John Tavares in the very beginning of that series, which, from what I can tell, doesn't seem to be talked about a ton right now in this series. I don't know, perhaps just the Montreal folks wanting to take their victory laps and not worry too much about that. Fair enough. They come back from 3-1 down, win Game 7 on the road. A considerable upset here, Donnie, as the Canadiens now set themselves up to face Winnipeg.
One of those better teams that we thought was coming to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs, who it's been so long since they won the Stanley Cup, and you thought this might have been the season, but yet again, heartbreak for the Toronto Maple Leafs fans. And I will be on Game Time Decisions today with Cam and Gabe to talk about that one and get the feel for the room. Maybe play a little bit of mediator in the middle, but a great comeback win for the Montreal Canadiens. And how many times do you see it, Kevin? There is a clock in the game, but you still have to get that fourth win in order to put the other team away. Just because you get up 3-1, looks like we're going to win the series, you still have to close it out. Toronto wasn't able to do so, but kudos to the Montreal Canadiens for getting the job done and moving on in a 7-game series. Exciting stuff, and anytime you see a Game 7 in sports, Kevin, come on, I know you're in. Come on.
Yeah, everyone loves a good Game 7, although, again, needed the Lakers to win in 6. Oh, boy. We'll see. Anyway, the other two updates on the ice. The Lightning take the first game off of the Hurricanes, winning in Carolina. And then the Isles last night, a 4-3 overtime win in Boston, which was impressive because the opening returns from game one in that series was that the Isles looked incredibly overmatched with Pastrnak there having the hat trick, but that one is now leveled up at 1-1. Let's keep it moving here, though, and we go over to the French Open, which is commanding the headlines right now, but not for the reasons that I could imagine the French Open or really anybody around tennis was hoping for. The star right now, I would say, in women's tennis, in Naomi Osaka, withdraws from the French Open. This was a story that was building. She entered the tournament saying that she did not want to speak to the press, citing mental health issues. In my opinion, I felt as if the French Open and the way that they handled it was less than ideal. It felt to me as if they were almost throwing Naomi under the bus, threatening to kick her out of the tournament, and at no point seemingly trying to handle this behind closed doors and work towards a result there. And, you know, in a way, ideal world, looking out for one of your athletes here, the end result, Donnie, is Naomi Osaka pulling out of the French Open, which, of course, is important for the odds board, but also it's a massive story here that has some overarching themes and cost the French Open a superstar in Naomi Osaka.
I understand why the French Open needs her to talk. I also understand why her sponsors and why she makes a lot of money is the reason, because you sit up there with a racket, you sit up there with a hat, with a shirt, with sneaks. That is exactly what your sponsors pay for. You're answering questions, and most of the time monotonous. How did you play in the second set? Did you think your serve was on point today? It's not a lot of tough questioning here, which is kind of interesting to see her back out of the tournament for this reason. I know what the French Open is trying to do. I know what these majors are trying to do. When the grand stage is out there, you want to many of your superstars talking to the press to promote the sport and to promote the tournament overall. So I guess they don't want to set the precedent saying, okay, if we let her slip, which may be in the next tournament, three people say they don't want to talk. The following tournament, 10 people say they don't want to talk at a tournament. So I understand it from both sides of the spectrum. It's a shame that she had to bow out of this tournament and say, hey, you know what, I'm going to get my mental health together and I'll be back at a later time. It's just a shame that the superstars can't compete on the biggest stage. And maybe, Kevin, just this one time, the French Open could have reached out, mediate, and say, hey, look, if you don't want to go to the press conference for 30 minutes, your obligation, what do you say we cut the difference? Right when you finish your match, put the headset on. You don't have a full press room. You'll be in front of the fans. They'll ask you how you played, what you need to work on, a couple questions, get you in and out, and we'll work on that and move forward. There could have been a better scenario to handle this because, again, Kevin, this isn't the 131st player in the world that we're talking about. This is a superstar. People want to see her on the court. The French Open needs her, and she needs the French Open.
And even if they said, okay, you know what, can we revisit this after the opening rounds? Because there is absolutely something, like, if we're in the semifinal and Naomi Osaka cannot speak to the media, I understand the issues that come with that. But again, the vibe that I got that I just didn't like here is it felt like their immediate reaction was, we're going to kick you out. We're going to fine you. It was almost to attack Naomi and threaten her. And that's, you're never really going to find a middle ground there. And it's also wildly insensitive to what she is saying, which is that she was citing mental health issues, to then basically flip that around on her. The end result was never going to be good. Now, perhaps it is best for her to maybe just be removed from the game for a little bit. And that's unfortunate, but if that's what's best for her, then so be it. To turn this back to the wagering side of things, though, this is one of the top five choices to win the French Open from the ladies' side of the tournament. And I think you can even see some early reflections here as some of these numbers have started to trickle down some. When you remove someone of not only Naomi's talent, again, who's the top five choice to win this, but also somebody, Donnie, that probably commands a lot of the bets on a ladies' French Open futures board because of her popularity that comes along with it.
You're absolutely correct. So let's get back to the sports book here, particularly the FanDuel sports book. There was a super odds boost on this tournament. The three players involved, Kevin, Serena Williams, Corey Goff, Naomi Osaka. So you are exactly correct. We're not dealing with a mid-level person. Maybe a couple people had some long shot futures on. You're talking about one of the betting favorites that bows out early in the tournament. And you are correct because it's not so much talking after, you know, beating the 120th seed in tennis. what would have happened if she made it to the final where you want the promotion and she wasn't able to talk? It's a tough look on either side, because even getting back to the original point, it's a slippery slope when we're dealing with mental health issues. It's not as if she said, hey, look, the French Open, you can't wear green tennis shoes. She goes, you know what, Kevin? I'm going to wear green tennis shoes. I'm going to step away because I just don't like this tournament here. This is an interesting situation, which is probably going to come up quite frequently in the future as we bring mental health into the forefront and really try to determine what the issue is here and how we can correct it and move on for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, on the men's side of the court, we've got Djokovic, Novak Djokovic, in action today at 3 o'clock. A small minus 8,000 favorite. Nadal's going to be getting underway at 10 a.m., and he's only minus 10,000. Parlay him, Donnie. No problem. Minus 4,420 bucks. Get you a little $100 return there on a Nadal Djokovic money line parlay. But I know you're pumped. I know you're entering this year with a little odds boost on the French Open on the Nadal side of things.
Yeah, we don't need Nadal pulling out of this tournament here, Kevin, as we take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook before the tournament started. A max bet of $50, which odds boosted from, I believe it was minus 115 or minus 120, up to plus 125 on Rafael Nadal to win on clay, which is something he's done numerous, multiple, many, many times. Let's do it, Kevin. One more time for Rafael Nadal as he walks through the French Open on the clay court. Should be an interesting tournament to watch it play out. And I believe he is underway a little bit later on today to get that started. But it's great because I'm not a huge tennis handicapper, obviously. I don't bet tennis all that much. But if you give me a good odds boost and you're going to keep me in the tournament, it's a great way to spend some money here and see if you can pick up some dollars. Love this odds boost. I'm in on Nadal. Let's see if he takes down this tournament.
Absolutely. He's a minus 115 favorite. Without that odds boost there. Golf, the Charles Schwab Challenge. Now, we're going to be giving the winner, a little spoiler there, in Hero of the Night, his credit. But I would say a big story here is not just who won this, but who came in second. Jordan Spieth. I feel like you don't see stuff like this, you know, because there's so many golfers, so it's very difficult. But Spieth entered this tournament as the favorite, tied for the round one leaderboard, and was in it wire to wire. Finished up second here at the Charles Schwab Challenge, but Jordan Spieth continues to play excellent golf and is going to, I think, continue to be people a golfer that people continue to keep their eye on as we are getting, you know, closer and closer to our next major.
What a win by Kokrak. How about home field advantage for Jordan Spieth? Every time Spieth did something wonderful, the crowd exploded. Every time Kokrak did something terrible, the crowd exploded. And he was still able to pick up that victory. Remarkable stuff there from Kokrak. Good on him for going on the road, Kevin, and picking up that win.
Absolutely phenomenal stuff there. All right, so what we're going to do, we're going to take a break. We come back. It's Hero of the Night time. I don't like to spoil Hero of the Night, but it's a massive price. It also helped out Cam Stewart of the network here big time. We'll come right back. Hero of the Night time.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's do it. We close out our number one, as always, in style, with our Hero of the Night. That's right, Hero of the Night time. We turn our attention to the world of golf. You could already tell. It's Jason Kokrak. It's undeniable. 50-1! 50-1! That is a huge number as he wins the Charles Schwab Challenge, 14 under, winning that tournament. by two strokes over Jordan Spieth. And look, at the end of the day, you could make an argument that all these guys that win these golf tournaments have a great case to be here tonight because we are talking about massive payouts. But the reason that Kokrak was a no-doubter is the other day during in-game live, I'm hanging out with my guy Cam Stewart. I came to find, and I'm sure many of you Sports Grid followers already know, that Cam was all over Kokrak, helping you get the winning edge here. It was all Jason Kokrak, 50-1, a massive win. Donnie, you love to see it.
Love to see it. Did in-game live on Saturday from 4 to 8 with Mike Carver, who also sat on a 47-1 ticket. Now, he was three shots back, Kokrak, on Saturday, but then flipped it over into Sunday. So, looks like everybody winning around the Sports Grid Network. Congratulations to Kokrak and some of our cohorts here.
You'll absolutely love to see it. Again, nice 50-1 bump. By the way, coming up this week will be the Memorial Tournament. Some odds already up for that on the FanDuel Sportsbook. John Rahm is the favorite at 9-1. Considerable gap between him and the next golfer. DeChambeau and Rory McIlroy, 14-1. Colin Morikawa, Jordan Spieth, and Justin Thomas with Victor Hovland all checking in at 16-1. An interesting price there at the Memorial Tournament. We'll certainly be breaking it down here a little bit tomorrow. Rick Gaiman will help us do that. But, of course, here on Sports Grid, Cam Stewart and Mike Carver as well. A little golf dynamic duo. We'll have you set. Hour number two of the early line around the corner. Keep it right here on Sports Grid.
The only place to turn for expert sports gaming strategies and information. But we just call it The Edge.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.